Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, let's see. 26, maybe? 28, okay. This is chapter 21, right? Okay. Hare Krishna.
Samahitam te vidayam. Yatre man parivatsaran. Satvam brahman nripavadu. Kamam ashu bhajishyati. Samahitam te vidayam. Yatre man parivatsaran. Satvam brahman nripavadu. Kamam ashu bhajishyati. Your vidayam heart. Yatra on whom iman for all these parivatsaran years sa she tvam you brahman o brahmana Nripavaduhu, the princess. Kamam, as you desire. Ashu, very soon. Bhajishyati, will serve. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. That princess, O holy sage, will be just the type you have been thinking of in your heart for all these long years. She will soon be yours and will serve you to your heart's content. Purport. Excuse me. The sage, rather, the Lord awards all benedictions according to the heart's desire of a devotee. So the Lord informed Kardama Muni, the girl who is coming to be married with you is a princess. The daughter of Emperor Swayambhuva, and so just suitable for your purpose. Only by God's grace can one get a nice wife, as he desires. Similarly, it is only by God's grace that a girl gets a husband suitable to her heart. Thus it is said that if we pray to the Supreme Lord in every transaction of our material existence, everything will be done very nicely and just suitable to our heart's desire. In other words, in all circumstances we must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depend completely on His decision. Man proposes, God disposes. The fulfillment of desires, therefore, should be entrusted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the nicest solution. Kardama Muni desired only a wife. But because he was a devotee of the Lord,
the Lord selected a wife for him who was the emperor's daughter, a princess. Thus Kardama Muni got a wife beyond his expectation. If we depend on the choice of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will receive benedictions in greater opulence than we desire. It is also significantly noted here that Kardama Muni was a Brahmana, whereas Emperor Swayambhuva was a Kshatriya. Therefore, intercaste marriage was current even in those days. The system was that a Brahmin could marry the daughter of a Kshatriya, but a Kshatriya could not marry the daughter of a Brahmana. We have evidence from the history of the Vedic age that Shukracharya offered his daughter to Maharaj Yayati, but the king had to refuse to marry the daughter of a Brahmana. Only with the special permission of the Brahmana could they marry. Intercaste marriage, therefore, was not prohibited in the olden days, many millions of years ago, but there was a regular system of social behavior. For a Krishna-conscious devotee, to have such material desires is a very embarrassing situation. A devotee can understand, at least theoretically, that all the females are meant for Krishna's pleasure. The original Prakriti is to be enjoyed by the original Purusha. And everybody is actually also Prakriti, meant to be enjoyed by the Lord. We take the role of enjoyers of Purusha, that is false. And for us to see someone else as our Prakriti, the object of our enjoyment, is very false. It's all Krishna's Prakriti, and we want to take it for our enjoyment. So this sexual relationship is an embarrassment for a Vaishnava. Yeah, that's why the grihasthas are not honored in the same way as the sannyasis, because they're in a compromised, embarrassing position. And Kardama knows this, and therefore he's taking a humble position, and since he's dealing with the Supreme Lord, who you cannot fool, he's trying to be frank. You know, just admit his compromised position and submit himself to the mercy of the Lord. You reconcile this. I'm trying to be your devotee. That's the honest thing to do, rather than to pretend not to have such desires. Actually, every person in this material world who's not here on a special mission as a Shakti Vesha avatar, all of us that are basically came to this world as conditioned souls, we all have material desires. Even if we've dealt with this worst problem of desire for sexual connection, still we have other desires. Prabhupada said, if you can become free from sex desire, you've accomplished 50% of liberation. But there's another 50%. Other desires add up to 50% also. So even one wearing saffron and who is observing his vows properly still may have to deal with material desires. What do you do? I'm supposed to be a renunciant, and I have the ambition, I have a desire to control other people, a desire for security, comfort. What do? I like to eat. And I'm supposed to be renunciant, a sannyasi, a brahmachari. All we can do is be honest. We cannot simply pretend, we should not just pretend we don't have desires. That is a hypocritical position, and it will end up in fiasco and disaster. If we become hypocritical by not admitting our own imperfections. So Prabhupada gives the strategy for resolution, for correction, is that we have to depend on Krishna's mercy, that he will make whatever arrangements have to be made. I have to eat, I have to have my ambitions fulfilled, I have to be in control, otherwise I can't be happy. Krishna will arrange. Admit to the Lord, at least if you can't, even if you can't admit to everybody, openly in public your imperfections, at least admit them to Krishna and your spiritual master, and depend on their mercy, that they'll arrange something, that your desires, your needs will be fulfilled, and you'll also progress without disaster toward the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Kardama Muni is very successful in that line. And he will have the son who is the personality of Godhead, Lord Kapila, and and in the end he will be able to attain, or rather enter, the renounced order. He'll take his sannyas after he's carried out his desire and done his part in the pastimes of Lord Kapiladev. He will leave home, take sannyas, and achieve perfection and go back to Godhead. What else can someone want? There is trouble and time involved in attaining that perfection for a sadhaka. But we should be satisfied that gradually, ultimately, Krishna will give his mercy. If we're childish and demand and will not be satisfied with anything less than immediate perfection, immediate gratification, then we'll be frustrated. We have to be mature and patient and determined and enthusiastic. Utsahan, nishchayan dariyat. These are the three first qualifications of success, for success in devotional service. That we are enthusiastic despite difficulties. We don't give up because there's some difficulty. And utsahan nishchayat, we're determined that the goal that I'm working for, to become an unalloyed, surrendered, fully surrendered devotee of Krishna, is so important that everything else has to be adjusted for that purpose. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. I must accept whatever is needed to achieve the perfection of Krishna consciousness, and I should reject everything that will obstruct or be detrimental to that progress. That is nishchaya, determination. That is required. And then dharyam, patience. You cannot expect immediate perfection. If you have, and the reason is because we have material desires, because we have material attachments, therefore our perfection doesn't come immediately. Our material attachments cause obstruction. They block our perfection. But Krishna will deliver us, but we have to be patient, expect that we'll take time and endeavor. That is a mature attitude, not a childish attitude. Tatenu kampam susamikshamana bunjana evatmikritam vipakam vidvag vapur bir vidadan namaste jiveta yo muktipade sadaya pak. A mature devotee patiently expects that Krishna will give his full mercy when he's satisfied in due course of time. It may not be in this lifetime. I may have to take birth again. But I will do what is needed. I will take as much time and work as hard as necessary in order to get to fully satisfy Krishna. I'm convinced that eventually he'll show me his full mercy. susamikshamana, with all conviction, expecting Krishna's mercy. And then, bunjena evatma kritam vipakam. And for now, I have not yet achieved full perfection. I am still experiencing the reactions of my past karma. Or even I may be, unfortunately, creating more karma for myself by doing things that are irrelevant or detrimental to Krishna consciousness. Unauthorized things I may still be doing. So I have created in the past, and I may still be creating now, reactions on the karmic platform. Good and bad reactions. All I can do is tolerate. Bunjena evatmikritam vipakam. The material good fortune and the material suffering that I'm experiencing is my own fault. It's simply my own prarabdha karma that I have created for myself. I should understand that philosophically and therefore not blame anyone else, but accept the responsibility. Expect the responsibility that what is happening to me is my own doing. Eva atma kritam vipakam. Whatever it is, it's the consequence of my own activity, my own attitude. And I will simply, therefore, tolerate the results. I can't simply pass the blame on to someone else and become angry. Forget the anger and just suffer what has to be suffered. Jive Deyo, one who can live in that with that proper mature attitude, even if he does nothing special, we think we have to do some amazing feat to attract Krishna's attention. Just like Hiranyakashipu stood on his one leg for 125 years to get the attention of Lord Brahma. So we think we have to do some amazing feat like that to make Krishna give us what we want. That's not the proper strategy. Jivaita, just go on with your life. With the proper mature attitude that Krishna wants to give his mercy, he's just waiting for you to become ready for it. If we simply go on practicing Krishna consciousness, even without doing anything spectacular, it is assured that in due course of time, Krishna will give us everything. Vidvang bapur vidadam namaste. With our mind, our body, and our words, we should be constantly submitting ourselves to Krishna. We should keep our body engaged, our mind, our senses engaged, only in Krishna's service, including the mind. Our words should be focused, should be channeled only to the glorification of Krishna and the enlightenment of other persons about Krishna. Whatever realization you have, you should speak that realization. Philosophy of Krishna, even the leelas of Krishna, glorifying Krishna in our speech, and glorifying Krishna's devotees. We may not know much about Krishna, but we're living in the association of Krishna's devotees. So glorify the devotees you know. That's Krishna Kirtanam. That's proper use of speech. That's dedicating your speech to Krishna. But if we use our speech for idle gossip and for fault-finding of Vaishnavas, then we're defeating our purpose. We're not using our speech for Krishna, we're using it against Krishna. We're displeasing Krishna by unnecessarily finding fault with Vaishnavas and wasting our time in mundane conversations. Vidvag and the heart, our attitude to be successful in dedicating our mind and our words to Krishna, our heart, our attitude has to be right. Without that, without trusting Krishna, without having friendly attitude toward the Vaishnavas, without feeling compassion for the conditioned souls, and without simply not getting into fights with the demoniac, avoiding them, without this attitude, or this complex of attitudes, one won't be able to control his mind and words and use them only for Krishna. he'll be dissatisfied. And when he opens his mouth, he'll complain. It can't be avoided unless we feel satisfied. How can we act and speak Krishna consciously? How can we preach? How can we do anything to help someone else if we're dissatisfied? So first of all, that's Vidvagva Purbir. The heart has to be properly in the proper place first. But then if we can dedicate our heart, our mind, and our words to Krishna's service, in whatever little way we're capable of doing, without doing anything spectacular, being a great controller, having a great reputation, making a lot of money and disciples, whatever. If that can be done, great. That glorifies Krishna all more. But even without that, if we simply give what little we have all to Krishna, with eager expectation that he will give his full mercy when he's pleased, then mukti pade sadaya bak. Then we are like a son who has been named in the father's will as the inheritor. Maybe the father isn't dead yet. He's written his will, but he's still alive. But unless he changes his will, you're in line to get the family fortune. It's just a matter of time. Or there may be a stipulation. He may have passed away, but there's a stipulation in the will that until you come of age, you don't get the wealth. But you are the designated inheritor, and it's just a matter of time before you get it all. Like that, a mature Madhyama Bhakta, who is fixed in his service and will not give it up, even what may seem to be an insignificant service, but he's fixed. He will do it and he will continue doing it for the rest of his life, whatever it is. Then Krishna accepts him as a fit receiver of the gift of love of God. Jai Shri Gornitai Shri Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. It's just a matter of time. That's the eager expectation, the patience that we should have. Kardama Muni has it. He's got the qualification. Even though he has to go through the Grihastha Ashram, he has to suffer the embarrassment of material entanglement. But in the end, he'll be perfect. He'll be perfected. He'll get his fulfillment of all his real desires. Vishnu is speaking here that all your desires will be fulfilled. You will be satisfied to your heart's content. Well, just having a nice wife won't do that. Enjoying unimaginable sense gratification will not make the heart actually satisfied. So if Lord Vishnu is saying that your heart will actually be satisfied, there must be something more in those words. That Kardama Muni, after he gets his facilities for enjoyment, material enjoyment, he will move beyond that and attain spiritual perfection. And then his heart's desires will actually be fulfilled. Jai Shri Gornitai. And that should be the program that we should be serious about executing. To somehow or other satisfy Krishna. Samsara vasana more. Kobe tucho hobe. When finally my desires for material enjoyment will become reduced to the point that they have no effect. They become tucha. Ineffective. Somebody may want to do nonsense, but he doesn't have the power to do it. He'd like to cause trouble to other people, but he's powerless. Tucha, like a snake whose poisonous fangs have been removed. So he may try to bite you, but he has no poison in him. So like that, our desire for sense gratification, although it's always hanging on, it may, by successful execution of Krishna consciousness, by becoming actually attracted to Krishna, by actually getting Krishna's trust and learning to trust Krishna, our material desires can be reduced to such a point that they have no effect. Durdant indriya sarpa kala sarpa patali prot kata dumstrayate For one, this is according to Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, for a devotee who has gotten the merciful sidelong glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the senses, which for everyone else are like black poisonous snakes. If you even see such a snake, you're terrified. And if he bites you, your life is finished. So the senses are like that. We're destroying ourselves by indulging our senses. But for a pure devotee who has gotten Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's actual mercy, even the senses become harmless. He will only engage his senses for Krishna's service, and therefore they cannot harm him. So that's the point at which our desire for sense gratification, even though the traces may be there, becomes ineffective, cannot harm us. That's what we should strive for. To become attracted to Krishna, to become actually dedicated to Krishna's service, and then we won't be in danger of material entanglement anymore. That's liberation. And we can expect that we will get it if we simply remain enthusiastic, patient, and determined in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Okay, so are there any questions or comments? No? Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.